Jesus is alive. He's alive. Sing it out. And oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Never be. Cause forever.
Thank you. Yeah. found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me a real love. I thank you, Jesus, you washed my sin away. Lord, I'm forgiven like I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what your mercy did. Day to day by His grace. So excuse me if I can't contain my praise. I know that I've been changed. Oh yeah. Now you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me your real love. I thank you, Jesus. Yeah. His grace. So excuse me if I can't contain my praise, 'cause I know that I've been saved. Lord, and you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave. Maybe you're real love. I thank you, Jesus.
Invite you here tonight to do something so extraordinary in every single one of us. So I pray, God, that you'll find it easy to work among us, and we'll just make it easy to cooperate with you tonight. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. Would you do me a favor? Just turn around and shake hands about six or seven folks and just say, man, I'm so glad you're here tonight. If you would, please make everybody feel welcome, if you would. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. You're a blessing. It's good to see you. If you don't know him, tell him your name. My name is. Hi, my name is. My name is, not Slim. I'm so glad to see you. Ushers, come quickly if you would. The people got that I want to give an offering look on their face. And I would hate to not oblige with that desire. I think that, you got some family with you tonight, Dave and Diane. I always forget if these are your parents, David, or yours, Diane. Yours. Well, you're proud parents then. I can say that now that Diane is your... Anyways, that went way over everybody's heads. Then, hey, let's let the Churchills... the Churchills in-laws. Diane's parents are here. Let them know you're happy about it. Wish you hey, amen. God bless you guys. I'll take some monitor. God bless you guys. Are you from Massachusetts as well? No. Where? From Virginia. All right, fantastic. Thank you for being with us. Beautiful weather for you to come and be here with us tonight. And there's some folks over there with the tardies. I don't do this every week, as you know, but when I see people I don't know, I want to know them because they're in the house. It's good to see some folks over here with the tardies. Let them know I'm talking to them. Just I'm waving at you. Hi. Hi. I know. You didn't want to look me in the eye. I don't blame you. I'm so glad that... Where are you folks from? Maine. Thank you very much. All right. Hard to stay in the witness protection program when the pastor calls you out from the audience, isn't it? All right. Well, we're glad that you're from Maine. Amen. We are as well. God bless you. Welcome home. All right. No, thank you. Is there a part of Maine, southwest, north, you can say? Lincoln, Maine. Oh, stinking Lincoln. All right. Awesome. Thank you for being with us tonight. God bless you. And there's a few folks kind of scattered across here tonight. I'm so glad that you're here. I pray that God will bless you in a real special way. God bless you as you give tonight. Heavenly Father, bless these gifts that we give. They're for your purpose, for the building of the kingdom. And we know that when we sow, there is a harvest. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. God bless you as you're giving. Let me mention to you that on what dates, honey, are the women's conference? On the September 29th and 30th, the last Friday and Saturday of September, is the women's conference. Friday night, 6:30, right? Dress in white. Friday night, something white. Yeah, dress, wear something white before it's too late. It's too late now. Oh, I didn't know that. So I don't know what colors we're in. But come dressed in white, ladies, and then Saturday morning, it's fun. Every lady is so happy when they've been here. And it'll be our treat to be a blessing to you specifically. So God bless you. Open your Bibles, if you would. I'm going to give you a little bit of time because I'm going to take you to Zechariah. I'm going to take you to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3 is where we're going. While you're thumbing through your Bible and looking for Zechariah, I just want to take an opportunity to thank Walter Young and his crew. I see Eric over there tonight. And you know, Walter Young has got his fingerprints on a lot of this building. Next to Kelsey Waite, he's got his fingerprints on more of this building than anybody else on the planet. And he just is a tremendous help to us in this building. And you saw when you drove in the new entrance down there at the Fellowship Hall. Still the railings to be replaced, the stairs to be redone, new siding take place, and all that. And what a blessing. And, you know, in Maine, buildings don't last as long as they do in other parts of the state. But we're so grateful that we get to worship in such a well-kept building. And we're glad to see Andy Dreyer. There's Andy over there. We're always glad to see Dr. Dreyer. What a great blessing. And they've scheduled him for surgery sometime in October. So we'll just keep putting that in God's hands. We just keep putting that in God's hands. All right. Have you found Zechariah yet? Have you really? You're faster than I am. And I got an iPad. I can search on there. But Zechariah chapter 3 is where I want to go tonight. Last week we talked on Zechariah chapter 2. You know, not a book that you usually go to for a whole lot of encouragement, especially if you're facing some stuff. But we're just talking about freedom. We're just talking about freedom. So let's find out what God has to say to us in Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1. It says, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest." This is a vision that Zechariah has. "He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord." This is in the throne room of heaven. This is God's main, this is the west wing of heaven, if you would. The Oval Office, I should say. "And Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him." Verse 2. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?'" Now, if you're not familiar what that phrase means, in Hebrew, he's basically saying, "Devil, what do you care what I do? It's none of your business." All right, verse number 3. I hope it'll help you in a minute. "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel of the Lord." You know, if you're standing before God and an angel, you should at least have clean clothes on. Right? They don't have to be your best clothes, but they should be clean clothes. All right, verse 4. "Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, 'Take away the filthy garments from him.' And to him he said, 'See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes.'" Verse 5. "And I said, 'Let them put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean baseball hat on his head, and they put the clothes on his body, and the angel of the Lord stood by. I want to talk to you tonight about freedom from shame. We're talking about freedom Sunday nights here, just for a few weeks, freedom from shame. Heavenly Father, oh Holy Spirit, come in these next 20 minutes that we spend in your word. Let your word produce a change in us, every individual. Change that we may not know that we desperately need. Those online, let them be encouraged by the word tonight. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you, musicians. If you're watching online, in about 20 minutes, we're going to take communion. If you want to go get something to drink and something for bread or crack or whatever, you can participate with us tonight. Somebody shout, "Not today, devil." Not today, devil. I was thinking about the Garden of Eden, and I want, you know, in the ministry, you're always trying to find more clear ways to present just simple truths. And I asked the Lord to share with me a way that I can more simply share with you something that I think, at some level, I'm guessing that most of us at least need. Okay, so Adam and Eve are in the garden, and what's one of the first reactions that they have after they partake of the fruit that they're told not to eat of? Shame. Shame. Just a few an odd point to say at the beginning, but it isn't interesting. It's human to feel shame. Okay, you go home and your dog tears the curtains off the wall. You're going to look out at that dog. You're going to scowl at that dog. You're going to look close in the face. You're a bad dog. Bad dog. Bad dog. Bad dog. All those years, all those weeks in training, you're a bad dog. The dog's going to have his tail between his legs probably and walk off. But how many know that it won't take but a few minutes for that dog to get over his guilt? See, you don't just let the dog out and then, you know, 3 months later, family comes over and says, why is your dog sitting in the corner with tears running down his face? Oh, the shame of what he did. No, your dog, humans are different. Humans are different than any other of God's creation in that the human experience can have shame in it. Secondly, my second point, you would think it's got to get deeper than that. I hope it does. I would say that what is shame? Because apparently whoever wrote Genesis, we believe it's Moses. Moses wrote Genesis. Apparently in Moses' eyes, it is shameful to be naked. You wouldn't know it by television, but it is shameful to be naked. Now, I began to wonder, who decided it was shameful? When Adam saw himself in the mirror, did he say, wow, that's embarrassing? Or did Eve look at him and say, wow, that is shameful? And did Adam in return say, you know, this doesn't seem right anymore? I'm just wondering if they felt the shame or if somebody else told them, you should be ashamed of yourself. I don't know. I don't know if Adam all of a sudden ate the fruit and said, wow, I feel cold. I might lean toward thinking that Eve says, you know, you really ought to wear more than that. So what is shame? Because I was thinking, again, I'm just throwing this out there. So shame. So let's say like a black bear, a Maine black bear, when he walks along, all his vital organs are pretty much protected, correct? Correct. You're going to have a hard time giving a heart punch to a black bear. He's going to have to stand on top of you to be done. Very rarely, except in the movies, do bears stand up on their hind legs and lift their paws and praise the Lord. Rarely. They most of the time are positioned by God's best. This is going somewhere, not quickly, but it's going somewhere. Their vital organs are covered. But we stand on our uprights. So this is the thought I had on shame. Because what's the difference between guilt and shame? Because guilt is something that will hurt you, but shame will damage you. The difference is guilt is something you feel at the moment you've done wrong. Shame is the residue of what you did wrong or what somebody did wrong to you, and you feel exposed, and you'll never be able to do anything about it. I just throw that out at you. As I was in prayer, I was like, Lord, help me to know a better way to identify shame. Shame is knowing you did wrong or something wrong done to you, and there will never be anything you can do about it. I used to have terrible nightmares when I first got in the ministry, and in my dreams I would be, because back then we were, the high potentate sat on the platform. Okay, I know how old you are. So we used to, and I used to have nightmares, and I would tell Darcy, I'd be sitting in those big brown, flowery, brome chairs in nothing but my underwear. And I would just, oh, it was horrific. And the problem was, where do you go to change? Like, there's no safe place on the planet for a man in his underwear to leave the platform. In other words, I couldn't do anything about it. Please hear what I'm trying to say. Shame is when we've done something wrong or something wrong's been done to us, and we have in our mind that we'll always be vulnerable and we'll never be able to recover from it. And that anybody who wants to take a shot at us for doing what we did will always, will be without defense. And so what we do is the same thing as Adam and Eve, is we create our own religion, and we create our own face, and we create our own whatever, what laws and persona and personality, so that we can try to cover something that we think will never be taken care of. The third observation I found is that it is people who don't know how to deal with their shame who are constantly targeting somebody else's shame. And that kind of goes back to, did Adam find out he was naked, or was it Eve that told him that? Those three little points lead me to tell you this. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. So if a redeemed, forgiven heart is gone out of, it means I have confidence when I approach God. Then that means if I don't correctly deal with the shame, that feeling that I'll never be the same again, that I'll always be vulnerable, that everybody will always be able to hold this thing over my head, that means that every time I go to prayer, I lack confidence before God. And it won't be long before you go to church long enough lacking confidence that you'll say it's not worth doing. It won't be long for people who are dealing with shame who come to church and they'll give it their level fleshly best. But after a while, they'll get sick of it and they'll say, I'm not doing that anymore because I know I'm not connecting. Why? Because I have this lack of confidence and I can never be healed. And it's hard because we don't want to talk about it. But I've come to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ did not only come to take away the guilt, but only Jesus Christ can take away the shame and redeem you and tell you, you don't have to live under the guilt and the condemnation and the rigid criticism of people anymore. You're free in Jesus' name. Get your confidence back. One of the great hindrances to answered prayer is living in continual shame. And so what does God say? Here, let me just say it real quick. Whoever's running that, would you go back a scripture or two? Let me just go back. Stop. Number one, this is what God says when you feel ashamed. This is what God says to the devil. This is what he says to people. Leave them alone. If you're here tonight and you feel the shame that the enemy is coming against you and he's attacking your mind, I would have you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, that God stands up and says, you don't have to fight for yourself anymore. You don't have to explain yourself ever again. You don't have to try to make it up. You don't have to pay penance. For in the name of Jesus, if you'll keep quiet, Jesus will eventually speak on your behalf. Come on, you shut up and let him do the talking. But the more you do the talking, the less he gets a chance to speak. Shut your mouth. Leave him alone. Who's the source of the shame? The source is the shame is the devil. I'm so glad that Joshua, who represented the priest, when he got accused in the how many understand the devil will go to church? The devil will hurt you anywhere he can hurt you. But I'm so glad Joshua, look, here's the thing. When God says, leave that son or daughter of mine alone, don't run. Stand up. Now, this is, okay. Okay, I'm going to use the next 14, 15 minutes as the best of my ability, then I'm done. Isn't it interesting? The devil, Mr. Guilty himself, is pointing out the wrong that Joshua had done. How many know it is those that are the most critical that need to be dealt with in their heart? Critical, it's something inside. Something. So unit 7, I wrote it down. In the World War II, it was unit 731 or 721. If anybody's heard it, correct me. But unit 731 was a Japanese military unit that was specialized in torture. And they would take prisoners of war, and this is real stuff, kids. This is real stuff. This isn't just stories. And they'd take prisoners of war, and they'd put them inside in freezing areas, and they would literally freeze their arms in a horizontal position, freeze them right there, solid, so that the prisoners could not move their arms at all. totally solid and frozen. Then they would take those prisoners of war outside and they would take hot water and they would pour it over their arms until the flesh, skin, muscle, sinew would fall off. These are living beings. And they would do that to test the effects of a frostbite on their soldiers when they went to fight in cold areas. Now, the only way a person with a mind that can perform that much pain is somebody who knows what that pain feels like. You don't come up with that stuff and say, hey, you think, I think this would be kind of fun. One of them jokers had frostbite at one time and said, I'm going to tell you, I had frostbite and that was painful. Well, let's put this on these guys. That's why David said, please listen to me, folks. That's why David said, I would rather fall into the hands of an angry God than into man. Can anybody agree with that tonight? I'd rather take God on a mad day than some strange people on a good day. Why? Because people have their own stuff to deal with. But I've come to tell you, when you come before God, He can easily say, leave my child alone. Why? Because He doesn't have any shame to cover up. He's not, see, we use shame to put rules on people. We find out they do something wrong, and then we shame them into doing the right thing. But how many understand? That doesn't work. Shaming somebody into doing the right thing, God didn't sit in heaven and say, you're a bad boy. You're a naughty priest. You know what you've done. You're bad, 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 bad. No, God turned to the devil, and He turned from the dirty one to the devil and said, I rebuke you. You leave my son. You leave my daughter alone. I got so much. Okay, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Number two, He says, I have chosen him. What's interesting, if you can just lean in on this for 10 minutes, watch this. Joshua stands before God with dirty clothes. He did it. He didn't get a chance to call Joe Bornstein. My wife said she was in the hospital. Anyways, so she didn't get to get Joe Bornstein. What's interesting is that Joshua did do the wrong thing. And God says, he's mine. I don't know anybody here that's perfect. If there is anybody here, please raise your hand if you're perfect, because we could use a better preacher. I'll set you preach. No, everybody has something to be ashamed of. But understand, God says, I chose you. I would encourage you someday to check out the I wills of Jesus in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 11, come unto me and I will give you rest. John 6, he that cometh after me, I will no ways cast out. John 14, I will not leave you comfortless. I will make you fishers of men. Number three, go to the next verse. Somebody shout, he chose me. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel, verse 4. And he answered and spoke to him, saying, take away the filthy garments. He said, number one, leave my child in whatever you're in here, whatever shame you're feeling, God says, number one, I don't want anybody to touch you. I want you to be left alone. Number two, God says, I've still chosen you, and that will never change. I think somebody would smile about that tonight. I mean, it's a heavy topic, but I think somebody would be grateful that though God knows you, His love for you is greater than His information about you. Number three, God says, change your clothes. Change your clothes. Your clothes are dirty. Change your clothes. What's that mean? That means, here's the best way to illustrate. So you remember Joseph was put in prison. He was an innocent man. He was put in prison. So he had prisoner's clothes. I don't know if they were orange or gray back then. But he had Egyptian prisoner clothing. Pharaoh called him out of the prison, said, I want you to come into my court. I got a meeting with you. And you know what the Bible says? Joseph did not keep his old clothes on any longer to rub it in to Pharaoh and say, look at where I've been. The Bible says he realized that he was no longer a prisoner. So he changed his clothes and he put on some new clothes. In other words, he says to the devil, leave my children alone. He says you've been chosen, but you have to stop talking about your past and stop letting the devil beat you up with that bully pin. And we've all got a past, and we've all got stuff that wish we could do differently. But I'm just telling you, God says, take the bully pin out of the devil's hand. I didn't save you so you could stay beaten up. I saved you because your past is under the blood. You're forgiven. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are now new. I don't care if you're 15 or 85. Whatever you did in the past wrong, as in the name of Jesus Christ, it is under the blood. Leave those clothes behind and say, I've got a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and I'm not going to look like my past ever again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what Joseph did. That'd be a great preaching right there. Joseph didn't look like his past. He looked like his present. Number four. That's it. I'm done. Ready? Go to verse number five. Put on a clean turban. He had a hat that said holiness unto the Lord, but it was covered with human waste. Kind of a filthy message tonight, isn't it? Come on, musicians. Put on a new hat. Has anybody got a hat with them tonight? Nobody wore one. Anybody bring a hat? Hey, can I have your hat, bud? Bring it on up here, son. Thank you very much. You know, God blessed me with an actually better than average size head. That's right. It's adjustable? My kind of hat. My friend, what's your name? I got a magic trick. Watch your hat shrink as I put it on my head. How do you like that? Didn't even see it coming, did you? What's your name, son? Zach Brown. No kidding. You tell all your rowdy friends at work tomorrow, the pastor wore Zach Brown's hat on the platform. Yeah. Somebody tell Dalton who that is after service is over. He had no idea. Zach Brown was at church. I can't believe Zach Brown was in church. That's awesome. I kind of like his music, but don't tell the elders. God likes two kinds of music, country and western. Just chill. Come on. Give yourself a break. You got enough to think about. I'm just pushing your buttons. I find it interesting, Heather. He said, change your hat. In other words, you're free from shame. How many are glad tonight? How many just received the fact that you're not vulnerable to the past anymore? Let's just let the past be its history. Let's forget about it. How many are just glad tonight that God says, I'm not holding you to it? How many are glad tonight God says, you're still my son, you're still my daughter? How many are glad you got a future and you don't have to live in the past? You got that about that? And let me just give you one more thing. All of that's no good if you don't change the way you think. I might go over my 15 minutes, but just a few seconds. Look at me. Jesus' blood was shed for you to be free from all of the yesterdays. And you won't enjoy a second of it if you don't change your thinker. You know, I hear people say constantly, well, I just can't stop myself from thinking that. Yes, you can. You ever notice anybody, they'll razz, let's just say, and I don't want to be political, they'll just razz, they'll be in the car and get pulled over by a police officer. I can't believe they did this, and I can't believe they did that, and I can't believe it. And then Brian Bean walks up and they said, well, hello, officer. What'd you just do? You changed your mind. Don't tell me you can't change your mind. People change their minds all the time. It's just hard to take responsibility when you think you got to do the mind changing. Paul said, set your mind on things above, and not on things below. You can change your mind. Well, if you want to. If you want to, you can change your mind. And you know what Zechariah said to the priest, to who, he who represents all of us? He said, you know what? You've been clean. You've been accepted. You got new clothes. Now all you got to do is top it off by changing the way you think. I begin to think I am redeemed. I begin to think I am chosen. I begin to think the devil can't do anything about me. I begin to think you can say what you want about me, but if God be for me, who can be against me? I begin to think, say what you want, but God is my bodyguard. Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad? When you begin to do that, you change your mind, and then you begin to live in the freedom that Jesus Christ brought for you and for me. One scripture. Watch this. And we're going to go to Isaiah back there in just a minute, but don't put it up there yet. How many of you, now that I say it, would admit there have been times in my life, here you go, Zach Brown. Ah! You don't fly very good. Is my hair okay? That makes me feel really uncomfortable when you laugh like that. Are you ready? And I'm done. Are you ready? I mean it. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Don't let the shame. Don't let the shame. Don't let the shame is the voice of the devil trying to distort and tell you because of your past you can't have a future. I had a wonderful text conversation with somebody this afternoon. I'm going to tell you, the devil wants to say because of your past, your kids will never be what God wants them to be. I say to the devil, shut your mouth. If I did my part, God will do his part, and my kids will serve the Lord. Your grandkids will serve the Lord. Don't let the devil put an ounce of shame on you. You do your best, and God will do the rest. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. This is Jesus, to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes. Come on, somebody. A joyous blessing instead of mourning. Righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted. You're going to be a great oak. Right now you feel like a sapling, but I tell you in the name of Jesus, because of his blood, you will grow to be great and productive for the glory of Jesus Christ. If you'll just shake the shame, get the shame off you. And go to that verse in Isaiah 61. For everybody that's felt shame, I'm going to tell you what God's going to do for you. I don't know if I can hardly read it without just kind of getting too excited. The same Jesus that said he's going to come bring liberty and joy and peace is the same Jesus that says to every person in this building and hearing my voice these very same words, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. I shouldn't have put the rest because you're all trying to read ahead. All right, you're overachievers. And instead of confusion, there shall be rejoicing in your portion. Therefore, in the land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. I'm going to tell you, God's better than you want to ever acknowledge. I'm telling you tonight what God is saying. My hair is... Whatever God is saying tonight, the devil will try to match it and say, you can't because this. You can't because that. You can't because that happened in the past. But God comes in just because he's not like us. And with his mighty power and his mighty love and his mighty favor says, you know what? Whatever the source of the shame, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to bless you double for the shame. In other words, the shame the devil's tried to put on you is a sign that God says, I'm going to put a double blessing on you. The devil wanted to put double condemnation, but Jesus wants to put double blessing. If you'll just hang in there and don't lose your confidence. Do you believe this? No, do you believe this? Come on, I like Sunday night people. They are so real. Do you believe this, Bill? You believe this, Joanne? Josh, do you believe this? You got anything to be ashamed of? I like it. Hurts my message, but I like what I get. You get the point. All right, too good. How about you, Prince? Anything in your past that you wish you could do over? No? He's on some Indian something. I don't know. Got anything you wish you could do over Big Ben? Of course. You know what God says? Because of that, He's going to give you a double portion. You know why? To show you how good God is. Hallelujah. And He'll do that for Josh and Prince. They'll get it. No, we don't like that. See, some of you are thinking, then people will just behave any way they want to. What are you, nuts? When God blesses Dennis with double because of the past, you know what that'll do to Dennis? He'll want to stay so far from the past, he'll run with it till his hair falls off. Is anybody? Cora. Sometimes the only remedy for shame is for the Father to come down and give you gifts that you could never buy, and give you blessings that you could never deserve, and give you things that you could never... Come on! Sometimes the only way that the goodness of God can be demonstrated to our culture is to take somebody that everybody knows doesn't deserve it, and then turn around and slap them with a blessing that nobody could earn, just to show that the God of heaven is better than you think. He's a good God. He's worthy to be praised. He's a mighty Father. He's compassionate. He's caring. Come on, anybody. Anybody a candidate for that kind of blessing? I want Him to bless me so that people will say, I know it wasn't Matt Ward. There must be a God in heaven who sits high and looks low. His eyes not dim. His arms not short. His heart is great for those who turn toward Him. Come on, somebody, get up on your feet. Something special tonight for your people tonight, Lord. Yeah.
Turning lives around.
Yeah, amen, amen. Let it be, Lord. Let it start with us.
I worship You.
Yeah.
Promise keeper, light in the dark.
Somebody say this with me. I'm free.
I'm free.
No more shame.
No more shame.
Praise God. Come on, say that again. I'm free.
I'm free.
And there's no more shame. Somebody would just thank God for making it easy. Like he could give you 10 hoops to jump through. I wish somebody would just say, thank you, Lord, for being so generous in your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for being so generous with your kindness to me. Come on, aren't you glad? This isn't for certain people. This is for everybody. Whether you've been born in church or today's the first time you've ever been in a church. This is something God has already done. Isn't that beautiful? Just living it. Just living it. Stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to put it on. And stop trying to explain to other people why you don't have that dark cloud anymore. Well, you know, I just... No, no, no. When people say, well, I know what you... That's right. But I met Jesus. And the same Jesus that took the cloak of shame off my life wants to do the same thing for you. And for those of us who are wondering, you know, why isn't this happening? I'm telling you, you remove the shame and you'll see God do amazing things. Because you'll get your confidence back. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I feel to do this and we're going to take communion. If you're here tonight and you say, you know, I've lived for a long time in shame. And you can't look back in your lifetime and remember a day and place and time that you officially, formally gave your life to Christ, received his relation, his love and his forgiveness. And you happen to be here tonight and God wants to bless everybody, but he really has got his eye on you. You're here on purpose. God brought you by circumstances that all blended together to get you to this place, to this moment, so that God could come into your life, remove all the guilt and the shame, and give you a brand new beginning. If that's you here tonight, there are several this morning that responded, and there's some here tonight that shall as well. You say, I'm ready to step across the line. I'm going to make a bold decision that I'm going to let God do for me what nobody else could, remove the shame of sin out of my life. If that's you, didn't mean you're a bad person. Means you started in the same place everybody else did. The need of a Savior. If that's you, slip your hand up nice and high, long for me to see it. Then you can put it down. Is there anybody here that says, I want to receive? When you pray, I want to pray that prayer with you. Is there anybody here tonight? I feel required of the Lord to do this for you because I don't know everybody that's here. And you say, when you pray that prayer, I want to pray that prayer with you. I want to give my life to Christ. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here that wants to do that? All right. All right. You can look up this way. I want the board members to come. Sing that communion song if you would. We're just going to take communion and we're just going to let the... How many feel the presence of the Lord here in a special way? A special way. I'm telling you, God is here. And he wants to just put so much of his love in our hearts tonight. So we're just going to take communion. You can stay where you're at. These fine paid professionals are going to come and help us with our communion tonight. Perfect. Thank you, Walter. Thank you. All right. Chad, come here. Help me over here if you would, please. Go ahead and sing that.
Let's have a meal. Come and reveal.
Savior, I will kneel down, wash all the sin from your soul.
Right here, watch
your servant, I am all you need.
Right over there.
I'm the lamb that was slain, and my blood washes you clean. I'm the pure sacrifice. Let my life give you life. I'm the Lamb.
You folks that are here, you know what to do. Come right this way. Front rows come this way, then just kind of going out this way. You know what to do. The same over here, all right? Camera people, platform people, Chad's coming your way, all right? Go ahead. Let's say, I feel the presence of the Lord here. He's going to build you up to your faith tonight in a wonderful way.
Let's have a meal. Let me reveal who I am. I'm your Savior. I will kneel down. Wash all the sin from your soul. Cause I'm your servant. I am all you need. I'm the lamb that was slain.
Okay.
And my blood washes you clean. I'm the pure. Let my life give you life. I'm the Lamb.
Oh, I am the bread given for every man. I sustain.
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
I am everything.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I'm the Lamb that was slain.
Thank you, Jesus.
And my love washes you clean. I'm the pure sacrifice. Is the Lamb of God. We cry worthy. We cry worthy. We cry worthy.
Is the Lamb of God.
We cry worthy. We cry worthy. We cry worthy.
Is the Lamb of God.
We cry. Was
Awesome. I love that line. I'm the Lamb. Let my life give you life. How many would admit tonight the life you live is not your own, but the life Christ has given to you? Isn't that awesome? It's the life Christ has given to you. Nobody deserves it, but you need to appreciate it. When Jesus looked at the body of his son and he saw the stripes, and he saw the piercing and the beating. I'll explain it this way. The moment I accepted Christ into my life, everything he saw done to the Son was done on Matt Ward's behalf. And everything that he gave his life for, in God's eyes, was given for you and I. So I love how God spoke to us tonight. It's his doing. It's his doing. Come on. Let's humble ourselves and say, if it had not been for the Lord. How many will agree with that? If God had not intervened. But tonight I declare to you, God has intervened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's not done yet. Take and eat that all, if you would please. I need to tell somebody that's in this building that you've been carrying the shame, not for a few weeks, a few months, or a few years, but you've been carrying shame for a few decades. And you'll constantly, wow, this is just the impression the Lord's put on my heart. You constantly live in this dull fear that it's going to come out. Whatever happened, it's like you've already taken care of it, but you're afraid, what are people going to do when they find this out? The Lord told me to tell you that's the devil trying to put shame on you and scare you and intimidate you and break your confidence so that you can't go to the Father boldly. But I tell you tonight, in the name of Jesus, with one swoop move of God's hand, the blood of Jesus has removed a lifetime or one moment of sin out of your past completely, and you ought to go to bed tonight knowing that you have been completely redeemed and none of your past is being held over your head any longer. Come on, thank God for that tonight. Number two, the Lord told me that we have an awesome responsibility to make sure that we don't hold shame over people. Too many people have heard too many a Christian join in talk about the failures of others in the community, only giving a backing to the mind of that unsaved person that God does not forgive and that those people are judgmental. From here on out, may we be more sensitive than others, if it be a Christian or a non-Christian that has something negative to say about somebody's bad behavior, that we have this response. We zip our lip and we walk away and we participate in no measure or impression or facial expression as to that person's calamity. For there, but by the grace of God, go I. And I have this sense in my heart that we just easily, and we, let's just be real about it. How many of you have been sucked into conversations that you wished you had never gone near by with a 10-foot pole? Oh my goodness. I've been in the quicksand of some of those conversations saying, help me, Lord. Nothing but the rapture could get me out of that. So I'm not beating anybody out. No, but I'm just saying, how many make a commitment today as we take communion to say, if God doesn't hold it over anybody's head, neither do we. It's over. Let's take the cup. I love this humble spirit I feel among you. This is a beautiful... How many say this is some of the... A very special presence of the Lord. It's very precious. We're dealing with people's lives, ladies and gentlemen. We're not dealing with somebody's car or somebody's motorcycle or somebody's house. We're dealing with souls. And shouldn't they be taken care of with a lot of love and caution? I want to be careful in my life. I want to be careful of that. Let's take that cup, represents the blood of Jesus, and drink it all. Let's just worship for a minute. We're going to go home. I just love the Lord. Come on.
We cry, worthy is the Lamb of God. We cry worthy.
Let's do it tonight.
We cry worthy.
Let's sing it with the angels of heaven.
We cry worthy is the Lamb of God. We cry worthy. We cry worthy. We cry worthy is the Lamb of God.
Let God bless you tonight.
We cry worthy.
Let Him lift you up.
We cry.
Come on, let the tide of God's love rise in your life tonight. You've got a brand new beginning tonight. Well,
we cry.
We're going to do this in heaven. Let's do it on the earth. We're going to do it in the streets of God. Let's try it here on this cement slab.
We cry,
it's over.
It's a
man's
love.
Come on. There's a healer in this building tonight. Amen. There's a healer in this building tonight. And what's been holding you down has been a shame tool of the enemy. But how many just tonight understand the devil's accusations have no bearing on God's blessings on the people of God tonight? At some point, we've got to say, enough is enough. Come on, say it. Enough is enough. Say it again. Enough is enough. Because if everybody lets you off the hook, but you don't let yourself off the hook, you're still on the hook. But how many just say it again? Enough is enough. Jesus Christ has paid the price, and you don't have to. You are free today in the name of Jesus. I've heard it said your mind has two rooms, a memory and an imagination. I've heard it said. And unfortunately, too many people, their memory is a large auditorium and their imagination is a small closet. Because we spend all of our time in our memory. When understanding God's not working in your memory, God is working in your imagination. They're just different words for saying the past and the future. But when you live with constant shame, and please, let's just talk about it. Sometimes we don't want to disappoint people. Let's just get down right down to it. We don't want to disappoint the people that we love. But I'm going to tell you something. The people that love you will not be disappointed. Can we agree to be a church that's not disappointed with people? There are people, they'd like to come back, but they're afraid we'll be disappointed. We're only disappointed if you don't come back. But nobody should feel like, well, I'm going to disappoint the church. Nope, not us. No, we're not going to be that way. Let's make our memory a small closet. And let's make our imagination a room without a roof. Let's make our imagination the auditorium and our memory a small closet. For I would tell you tonight, the Holy Ghost is working in your imagination, in your future. For the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 2 that He'll give His people dreams and visions, not of the past, but of the future. That tells me the expectation God had of His church in these days is that they would not be a condemned people, because a condemned people just rehearsed yesterday, but a spirit-filled people begin to forecast their tomorrows and say, the blood of Jesus has given me access to every blessing that God has in store for me. Praise God. Would you find a prayer partner? Somebody just find a prayer partner. We close. Find someone to pray with. Just find somebody to pray with. Elders, just find somebody in this altar if you would. Everybody find somebody to pray with if you would, please.